Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. So sit back with your cup of coffee and your Danish and listen in while we talk about these topics in the tax, estate planning, and business planning areas. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the premier law firm in Northern Virginia of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. Visit us on the web to find out more about the firm at www.ofplaw.com. I also invite you to subscribe to my blog at blueprintforwealth.org, where you can view videos, listen to audios, and read articles on tax, business planning, and estate planning topics of interest. And lastly, please read the Washington Business Journal, where my Blueprint for Wealth column appears once a month. Today, we're going to be talking about common non-tax estate planning mistakes. Now, we've often talked about some of the tax planning mistakes that people make, but we're going to talk about some of the non-tax planning mistakes that people make. And number one on my list is failure of the client to provide sufficient information and failure of the attorney to gather sufficient information from the client. The estate planning attorney has to conduct a really detailed client interview and compile a vast array of data before preparing an estate plan. Information concerning the client's assets, liabilities, family situation and nuances, and the disposition desires, how they want their assets to flow, and related matters have to be gathered by the consultant or by the attorney. Failure to get these relevant facts makes it difficult to draft an appropriate estate plan. You, as the client, may not reveal certain important information because you either weren't asked about the information, or you might not realize about its significance, or you may not want to talk about it because it's a sensitive matter. Nonetheless, we've got to talk about those things with you. And so avoiding those topics, avoiding those facts, could result in an improper estate plan being drafted. The second common non-tax planning estate planning mistake that people make is believing, without independent verification, some of the things that we're hearing as attorneys and you saying some things that may not necessarily be entirely accurate. So a client, you, who might be unskilled in legal matters, may inadvertently or even intentionally mislead the estate planner. So my job as an estate planner is to make sure that I avoid any unexpected surprises. I should ask you for supporting documentation, and you should be ready to provide it whenever possible regarding family matters. For example, marriages from the past, divorces from the past, birth of children out of wedlock, adoptions. All of these things need to be brought to the table. And if you're there in the estate planning consultation with a spouse or another loved one and you're embarrassed to talk about it, then we may not have enough information to provide you with the protection so that your assets flow to the proper people. Also, ownership of assets, what you own and where it is, including deeds and stock certificates and bonds. Your employee benefits that you're entitled to under your retirement plans, bonus plans, your bank accounts, including ones that you may have in your own name without your spouse being aware of it, debts, life insurance, and other relevant matters, powers of attorney, directives to physicians. We need to know the whole story. You might believe that documents reflect specific facts, when in actuality they don't. Here's a simple example. You tell me, the estate planning lawyer, that you've got a large certificate of deposit in your name and in your best friend's name. You explain that you want this certificate to pass to your friend rather than to your family under your will. You assure me that the certificate is in what we call joint tenancy with rights of survivorship form, and I don't have to independently verify this statement. When you die, I discover that your friend's name is on the certificate, but it didn't properly have a joint tenancy with rights of survivorship designation, so that he, your friend, or your girlfriend, will not actually own the CD. The friend may go away empty-handed, and your intent may have been frustrated. And I've seen this time and time again. So it's best not to speculate. It's best to actually look at the documents, at the instruments, and get the facts straight. A third common non-tax estate planning mistake is failure of the lawyer to communicate properly with you, the client. As a lawyer, I have to be aware of the importance of maintaining communications with you as my client, both during and after I prepare your estate plan. During the estate planning process, you may have questions. You may want to make changes, so you need to be able to get in touch with me to do so. This is often the case once you begin thinking seriously about how you're going to give away family wealth or family heirlooms. The best estate plan will result if the attorney promptly returns all telephone calls, all emails, and answers all letters. And if you're not getting prompt responses, then something's wrong. Even after the estate plan is complete, the attorney should maintain contact with you, unless the attorney makes very clear that the representation does not continue beyond the document execution. Now, most law firms and most lawyers, such as our firm, will terminate the representation when we execute the documents. That avoids any continuing liability by the attorney for failing to continuously keep in touch with the client. But what we do is we invite you to subscribe, for example, to our blogs so that you can keep in touch with us vicariously. We can send you emails. We can send you notifications. We can send you newsletters and keep you in the loop as to when there are significant changes going on in the economy, in the tax world, and in the law. Likewise, we want you to communicate with us when significant events take place. Births, marriages, adoptions, deaths, substantial increases or decreases in assets, changes in your residence or domicile. Those things we won't know about unless you keep in touch with us. And so we invite you to do that with us. Another common mistake that estate planners make to you as the client is failure to act on a timely basis. So the idea is expectations should be set at the outset as to when the documents will be drafted, when they're going to be delivered for your review, and when you're going to execute the documents. A lot of the time, this depends on you as the client getting us all the information we need to complete the estate plan. This is so important if you are older or seriously ill. Prompt estate planning is also necessary if you're young and in perfect health at the time of the initial interview, but you could subsequently have a fatal automobile accident or a heart attack on the way home. So the idea is get the information together. Don't dawdle. Provide it to the estate planner, and the estate planner should ask you for all the information. At the initial consultation, you should have all that with you. If you don't, then some important fact may be left off the table, which may result not only in delays, but also increases in costs to you as the client, which you want to avoid. Another common non-tax estate planning mistake that advisors and attorneys make is failure to properly document unusual requests that you may have. If you make an estate planning decision that the attorney's fears may appear suspicious to others or might be viewed as evidence of the attorney's negligence or improper drafting, special steps are necessary. For example, a married individual may want to leave his or her entire estate to the spouse or more than $1 million to a non-spouse and may incur a federal estate tax liability if the $1 million is the exemption in effect at the time of the gift or the bequest. This could have easily been avoided. The attorney could have set aside the funds in trust for the spouse so that the spouse has access to the income over the asset. And on the death of the surviving spouse, the asset could then be held in trust or given to this non-spouse individual. All of these things need to be talked out in detail. All of the alternatives need to be explored between the estate planning lawyer and the client. And if you're not able to explore them, then either you are not being represented competently, or you're not willing to have somebody really deal with all the facts with you. So my recommendation is, in doing your estate planning, it's a very sensitive, touchy issue. You want to deal with somebody who is going to explore all the opportunities, all the alternatives with you, explain them to you in a way that you can understand. And then you can make the decisions with the help of the attorney that is best for you under the circumstances. And then the documents need to reflect those decisions. So it's not always boilerplate. It's not always cookie cutter. Particularly when you go to one of these websites like LegalZoom.com and you download a trust or you download a will, you're going to get cookie cutter boilerplate provisions. You're not going to be able to modify or draft something that might be reflective of an unusual request that you have. And so you've got to be careful in undertaking this on your own or with somebody who's not experienced in handling sophisticated estate planning requests, which may not have anything to do with tax planning whatsoever. The last non-tax estate planning mistake that attorneys typically make is a failure to recognize circumstances that increase the likelihood that the will or the trust will be contested by the family. As an attorney, I always have to be on guard when I'm drafting instruments which may supply an incentive for somebody to contest the will or the other estate planning document. Anytime an individual is going to take more through what we call intestacy or under a prior will, the potential for a will contest exists, especially if the estate is very large. The prudent lawyer has to recognize these situations that may inspire a will contest and take the necessary steps to reduce that probability and the chances that the trust or the will be overturned. If you have any questions on your estate planning, give us a call at 703-218-2100. I am Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.